Today's Shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Pei Hey. We will begin on Daf Pei Dalad Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Yemer Bachoshu Havamasik Beizuze Behugavra. Yemer Bachoshu had a claim of money against a certain person, Shochev V'Shova Arba, and that person passed away and left over a boat. Omle L'Shluchei. So Yemer told his Shliach, Zil Tafsanile, go seize this boat on my behalf. Ozel Tafse. So the agent went and seized it. Pogube Rapapa of Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua. So Rapapa and Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua met that Shliach. Omrele, and they said to him, At Tafis Labach Choiv, B'mokim Shechav Lacherim, you are seizing this boat on behalf of someone who's a creditor in a place where there are other creditors. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Hatoifus Lumbal Choiv, the Mokum Shechav Lacherim, if somebody does this type of seizing, Loikana, it's not effective. And Toifus points out that from here, from our Gemara, we see that even in a situation where he was appointed as a shliach, still it will not be effective. And Taisa says this is actually in disagreement with Rashi in Masechta Baba Metzia, where Rashi says that only since Yemer Bar Choshu did not appoint this individual as a shliach, therefore it wasn't effective. Had he appointed him as a shliach, it would be effective. So the Rishonim and the Farshim try to understand why, if he was appointed as a shliach, would it not be effective? If we know we have a halacha throughout Shas, shlicha shel adam kamaisai. So I saw a number of pshatim why, even if he was appointed as a shliach, would it not be effective? Some Rishonim explain that he was not appointed as a shliach in front of Edom. And since he wasn't appointed as a shliach in front of Edom, his shlichus is not considered an effective shlichus. Along the same lines, some mefarshim explain that he was not given a shtar hashah, a power of attorney. Since the shliach wasn't given a power of attorney, that's why his shlichus is not effective. Other rishonim I saw explain that since he wasn't being paid, only if the shliach was paid would it be considered that he was an extension of the shliach. But if he wasn't being paid, it wasn't of the mshalach. If he wasn't being paid, the shlichus is not effective. And yet another pshat that I saw is that shlichus is only effective where the shliach himself could have done this by on his own behalf, meaning that if the shliach would have seized it for himself, it would be an effective act. Therefore, he could do it on behalf of the mishaleach. Since here, the shliach was not a creditor, and if he wasn't a creditor, he wasn't a person that could make an effective tfisa. Therefore, the tumim says this pshat urim v'tumim, therefore he cannot act as a shliach on behalf of someone who is indeed a creditor. And along the same lines, Tosfos points out that the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia says that if somebody finds a metzia on behalf in the street, he could pick it up on behalf of someone else. And the difference is very obvious. There, no one is being adversely effective. It's not chav lacherim. He could, and like the Urim V'tumim says, it makes even more sense. The shliach could have picked up this item on his own behalf. So now he went and picked it up on behalf of the Michelle, on behalf of someone else. That's why it's effective. But in a case where he can't pick it up on his own behalf, he's not a creditor, he cannot be a valid shliach on behalf of someone else. And actually, I saw from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein that this shaila could have interesting ramifications to shailas that we could could relate to in a day-to-day situation. Let's say two people are going to go on a bus, on a train together, and one person is able to get onto the vehicle prior to his colleague. So he goes and he grabs a seat on behalf of his friend, his wife, whoever he's traveling with, and there are other people to get on the bus and say, see that empty seat, and they say, we'd like to sit there. Does this person have the opportunity to be a shliach for someone else? It's b'makom shechav l'acherim. So if we're going to explain that if the person who he's seizing the seat for is a person that also paid for that seat and is therefore is also paying to get on the bus or the train, so therefore he's entitled to the seat, and therefore I could seize a seat on his behalf. But if we say that b'makom shechav l'acherim, there is no concept of shlichus. Shlichus is totally ineffective, as some Rishonim want to suggest. Then I cannot take a seat on behalf of someone else to the detriment of others. Tavsa inu, so Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua, who are also creditors of this person who left the boat, seized the boat on their own behalf. Rav Papa mimlech meluchi, Rav Papa did his Maisa Tfisa by rowing the boat. Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua mamtach la ba'ashla. Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua pulled it with a rope. And some Rishonim point out from here we see that a Maisa Tfisa is not identical to a Kinyan, because they just rowed the boat or pulled the boat, but actually did not do a Maisa Kinyan. And from here the Taisus Rosh says that Tfisa doesn't require a kinyan. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that it wasn't just that he rowed the boat or pulled the boat. They actually rowed the boat or pulled the boat to a Rishus HaYachid, and it was considered a full-fledged Meshicha, because they hold, those Rishonim, that for a Tfisa to be effective, it has to be similar, it has to have a Maisa Kinyan. Mar Omer, now one of them said, Anok Kinyan Lo Kula, I did the ma'aseh. I did an effective ma'aseh tefisa. Omar amar no kinyan l'kula. I did an effective ma'aseh tefisa. Pogba Rav Pinchas Ba'ami. Rav Pinchas Ba'ami met them. Amalehu, and he said to them, Rav Shmuel Damer Tavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel said, V'uchu tzuvar m'menochem rishus harabim. That when is tefisa effective? When it was taken from a rishus harabim. But if the boat was in a Rishus HaYochid, that immediately upon the death of the person, his Yesoimim become the owner of his assets, and it's too late to do a Tfisa, even according to Rav Tarfin. Amrle, so Rav Papa and Rav Huna Yeshua said to him, Anan nami mechafisa de nahara tafisna. When we did our maisa tfisa, we took it from the middle of the river where it's not yet, where it has not yet come into the possession of the Yesoimim, and therefore the tfisa was an effective tfisa. Also came to Rava. So they came to Rava to know who was entitled to this boat. Amlo, kaki chavri, white geese, mishalchi glimid aninchi, who take the clothes off people. The Farshim say, why were they called kaki chivri, white geese? So some say, because the Gemara says, in Masech de Brachas, haroya eva is b'chaloyim, if somebody sees geese in a chaloyim, yitzapil l'chachma, he could expect chachma. And that's why they were being called geese, because they were chachamim. Other, I saw the Nesivis says another pshat. He says that there's a very interesting characteristic about geese. Geese, if you try to fatten them up, give them a lot to eat, after a number of weeks that of such a diet, they will get sick and die. So he was saying to them, you're trying to grab a lot of money. What do you want a lot of money for? A lot of money for ultimately could be detrimental. So he said to them, Hach Amar Rav Nachman, V'hu shetofs mechayim. Tfisa is only valid if it was done while the Baal Choyiv was alive. Because we follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says that after the death of the Baal Choyiv, Tfisa is too late. Says the Gemara, Avim Abrei Deravua have a maski beizuzi bechazoi. People in Bechazoi, Avim Abrei Deravua owed money to people in Bechazoi. Shadrin Abiyat Cham Abrei Deravua Baravua. So he sent the money to these people in the hands of Rav Chama Abrei Deravua Baravua. Ozel Perinim, and Rav Chama went and paid him. Amalei Havu Ishtari. And then he asked, give me back the shtar. I paid you back on behalf of Avimi, please give me back the shtar choyv. Amalei Sitroninu. So they said to him, he owed us other money. In other words, the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, Rav Avimi owed them two loans. One was a milva b'shtar, and one was a milva alper. And they were saying that we taking that money for the milva alper, and we're considering the milva b'shtar not yet paid, and therefore we don't have to return the shtar to you. And the Rishonim point out, based on this Gemara, that it is the right of the malva to decide which debt is being paid. That means if a loiva owes a malva more than one debt, the malva has the right to decide which debt is being taken care of. And the explanation, as the Ran gives, is Eved loiva l'ish malva. The loiva is subject to the malva, and the malva has a right to say that I'm taking this payment for this debt versus another debt. So now the shliach osla kamei de Ravua. So they came to Rav Avua, as Mefarshim explained that even though Rav Avimi was a Ravua's son, so how did they go to Rav Avua for the Torah? So the Mefarshim explained either they didn't really go for the Torah, it was just Avimi was seeking out his father Rav Avua's opinion of how to view the situation. Other Mefarshim explained that Rav Avua, that since all the parties had agreed that Rav Avua could serve as a dayan in this case, even though he was Avimi's father, that's why they came to Rav Avua to paskin the shaila. Also came to Rav Avua, Amalei, Islach Sadi de Pertinu, do you have Edim that you paid this debt? Amalei loy. So he said no. Amalei, Migadi Chayim Loimer Lahayad Varma Oilim, since these people, this Bnei Chozoi, could say that we never got paid at all, so they have a migui, and therefore they can say that this debt is being used for the other debt, for the milva alper, and the milva bishtar is not yet paid. Mefarshim ask that here we have two individuals. And when we learned the halachas, Bnei Yeshua asked this question, we learned earlier in the Masechta, when we learned the halachas amigui, that two individuals cannot say an amigui. We don't say amigui by more than one individual. First we say we don't say amigui, Bnei Yeshua says, by two edim. But here where we're talking about two people who are parties to the situation, we could say amigui even when it involves more than one individual. The Rishonim also ask, how can we say amigui? This is amigui lahaitzi, and amigui lahaitzi we don't say. So the Mefarshim say that since there was a shtar here, that's not considered amigui lahaitzi. And the Mefarshim explained, the Ramban explains, Tosfos, because all that the amigui really is accomplishing is strengthening the position of the malva and being allowed to hold on to his shtar, and therefore it's not considered amigui lahaitzi. Ask the Gemara, l'inyan shlumei shliach mai. What would be the halacha? Does the shliach have to pay back? He, so to speak, acted improperly. He didn't act responsibly by getting the shtar back first. And now Avimi has a complaint. Could Avimi ask the shliach to reimburse him? Amar Rav Ashi Chazinin. We look at the situation. Had the Balchoyv told the shliach, take the shtar and then give back the money, Mishalim, then the shliach has to pay. He certainly acted irresponsibly. He didn't follow the instructions he was given. He paid before he received the shtar. However, if he said, have zuzi ushkol shtara, if the mishaleach told the shliach, if the loiva told the shliach, first pay and then ask for the shtar back, which is what he did, but then was not able to recover the shtar, so he didn't do anything wrong, and therefore, loy mishalim, he's not held responsible for not bringing back the shtar. However, says the Gemara, v'loy hi, that's not the halacha, benkach or benkach mishalim, whether the whatever wording the loyva gave, the shliach has to pay, damalei, because the Baal Chayv could say to the shliach, the loyva could say to the shliach, Litguri shadaticha v'loy la'avsi. I sent you to improve my position, not to make it worse. And you made it worse, you paid, but didn't bring back the shtar. However, Tosfos points out that this is only in a situation where the loyva gave the shliach some sort of instruction to bring back the shtar. However, if the loiva did not give any such instruction, then the shliach is not held responsible for not bringing back the shtar. The Marit, in the name of Rav Nachshon Goyim, disagrees, and he says that the shliach should understand by himself that the loiva, the mishaleach, is expecting him to bring back the shtar, and therefore, under all circumstances, if he didn't act responsibly and he doesn't bring back the shtar, he's held responsible. I saw that the Mefarshim, with this concept of L'tekuni l'shatitach v'loy la'afsi, explain a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, V'yiken Yosef is called Admas Mitzrayim l'paroi, that during the hunger, and the people of Mitzrayim needed food. So the pasuk says, Yosef bought all of the land of Mitzrayim for Paroi. Kimachru Mitzrayim isodeyu. Everybody in Mitzrayim saw the field. V'tia aretz l'paroi. So the Mefarshim ask, why does the Torah have to add the words, Kimachru Mitzrayim isodeyu? Obviously, the Mitzrayim sold their land. Why does the pasuk have to say that it was... why does the pasuk have to add these words? So the Mefarshim answer that Paroi, that if the people of Mitzrayim obviously sold their property under duress, they needed the food, they needed the land for food. When you sell property under duress, you're going to sell it for below the value. And if they would have sold it through a shliach, they could tell the shliach, even though it's karka, I didn't send you to send my property to get less than the value, and the sale would be void. So the pasuk says, "Kimachru Mitzrayim isodeyu." They sold the land themselves, and when they sell the land themselves, since it's karka, there's a concept of ein oinola karkos, and the sale is valid under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, "Hahi itasa." There was a woman. Somebody left by her a pouch full of documents, shtari halva, that people owed him. Also yarshim katovalimanai. And the depositors, the person who left the yarshim of the person who left these shtaris came after their father died to request the documents back. Amrlo. So she said to them, "Mechaim tefisnula. I already seized these documents. Your father owed me money, and I seized these documents on behalf of the obligation your father had to me." Some mefarshim want to explain that it was a wife who her husband had left Storis by, and she said, I had already seized these documents as a way of being able to collect my ksuba, which the Mefarshim explained really goes back to a shaila that we discussed yesterday, that according to Rabbi Kiva, who the Gemara is now following his opinion, tfisa is valid michayim, but the question we discussed, the machlokes rishonim in the previous shiur, is that only on by bal chayv, or is it also by ksubas isha? So Mefarshim that explained this Gemara is referring to a wife, will say that even by ksuba, tfisa is effective mechayim. Other mefarshim that disagree with that opinion will have to say that she was just a creditor of this man. Asl kamed Rav Nachman. So they came to Rav Nachman. Omle islach sadi, the tvu menach mechayim v'lo yavasnoi. Do you have witnesses that the father had requested this pouch back during his lifetime and you did not give it to him? Omle loy. So she said no. So they said to him, her, imken have a tfisa lachemisa, your tfisa is only a tfisa after the death of the father, and we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that holds a tfisa lachemisa laf klimu, it's meaningless. Says the Gemara, another situation. Hayi itasa dechayv shvua bebeidina derava. There was a woman that was liable to make a shvua in the bezdin of Rava. Amrle Bas Rav Chizda. So the daughter of Rav Chizda said to Rava, who was the dayan in this case, Yodana be the Chshuda Ashvua. I'm familiar with this woman, and I'm familiar that she is not careful about making false oaths. Other Rishonim explained that she's not careful in being Maitzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. She's not careful in not mentioning Hashem's name in vain. So Avcha Rava, so Rava reversed the oath and made the other party make the shvua. In other words, instead of having her swear and therefore exempt himself from a payment, Rava gave the other party the opportunity to swear that she does owe the money and thereby collect from her. And as the Ritva explains, this is acceptable in halacha, because the halacha is that if there's a situation where a shvua is required, if one party can't make the shvua, the other party is supposed to make the shvua. Zimnan have a yosu kamei rapapa of Adam Amasna. There was another time where rapapa of Adam Amasna was sitting in front of Rava. Aisa hushtar gabei, and a document was brought for him for collection. Amula rapapa. Yodanabe the star of the prehu. So Rav Papa said, I know that this document has already been paid. Omle, ik inish achrein bahadei demar. Is there someone else along with you? You're only one witness. And we know a pishnei edim yakum dover, that two witnesses are required. Omle loy. So Rav Papa said, no. Omle, afagav the ikamar, even though you are telling me that this star is not an acceptable star, one witness is not valid and doesn't have standing in halacha. Amalei Rav Adab Amasna. So Rav Adab Amasna said to him, "V'lo yehei Rapapa kibas Rav Chizda. Is Rapapa not as good as Rav Chizda's daughter? Just like you trusted Rav Chizda's daughter, your wife, shouldn't you trust Rapapa?" So he said, "Bas Rav Chizda kimla begava." So Rapapa responded, "I am." Bas Rav Chizda was my wife, and I'm kazed about her that she would not say something which wasn't 100% accurate. Mar, however, you, like Kimla Begavei, I'm not that familiar with you, and therefore I can't rely on what you're saying. And as the Mefarshim explained, certainly it's not a situation that he didn't trust Rapapa. But as Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, Kimla Begavei, to say that we rely on a person under the circumstances that the halacha is teaching us here, has to be that we know that the person, honesty and integrity were tested, and he remained honest and truthful under all circumstances. And that's what's considered, that's the only situation where we could apply the concept of Kimla Begavah. In fact, I saw the Rav Moshe Sternbuch quotes Reb Moshe Feinstein as saying that we could take this concept of Kimmel Begavel and saying that we could trust a person that even if we don't know exactly the level of observance of a certain individual, but we know that this person is honest and truthful under all circumstances, and we come to this person's house and he tells us that the food that he's serving us is kosher to the standards that we keep, even though we don't know exactly what he normally does in his home, but since we know that this person is honest under all circumstances, that's a situation of Kimmel B'Gavah, and we could trust the person. Amalei Amra Papa. So now Rav Papa says, Hashta de Amamar Kimmel B'Gavah Milsehi. Now that we've learned that this is a concept in Halacha, that if we know that a person's integrity is so perfect, it's a factor in Halacha, Kigoyin Abba Mabrei, if there'll be, if I'll hear testimony from like my son Abba Mar, the Kimle Begavei, who I know he's a person that could always be relied on, Kurana Shtar Lapumei, if he'll tell me that this shtar is an invalid shtar, I'll rip it up. Says the Gemara, Kurana Salkadatach, even if we'll say that that this is a factor in Halacha, but tearing up a shtar, making it totally useless, is a very extreme act. Says the Gemara, El Marana Shtar Apumei. What he meant to say was, I would downgrade a shtar based on his testimony. And as Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, what does Marana L'Shtar Apumei mean? Rashi says that I myself would not rely on the shtar anymore, because he told me, this person who I trust told me that the shtar is not to be relied on, but I would not rip it up, and they could use the shtar in another bezdin. Tosfos says pshat is that in this, that even though it would be a situation where normally a shtar could be used without a shvua, since this person who he relied on so heavily told him that he shouldn't be trusted, the halacha is that he should. That the halacha is we would require a shvua to be able to collect with the shtar. Says the Gemara, Hahi itisa, there was a certain woman, the chayv shvua beidina de Rav Bibi Barabaya. She was chayv shvua in the beznar of Bibi Barabaya. Amalehu bal dover. So the other side said to the judge, Teise v'tishba b'masa. I'd like her to swear in our hometown. And there are a number of pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand Teisu Tishba B'masa. The simplest pshat is that he requested that she make the shvua that she was being held liable to in her hometown, where he felt it's more likely that she will be honest in what she says. Other mefarshim explain that he said that since I'm the malva, and as we quoted earlier in the shir, Eved Loivel Ish Malva, the Loiva has to go to the Malva. So the Malva said, I have a right to demand that the Din Torah take place in my hometown. So even though here the Din Torah did not take place in the hometown, I want the Shvua to take place in my hometown. There are other Rishonim, however, that disagree with this approach, because they say that even though the Malva has a right to claim that the Din Torah should take place in his town, once he waived that right, he cannot say that I want the Shvua to take place in my town. And they explain that the situation here was where the woman was satisfied and willing to make the Shvua in the hometown of the Malva. Efshe the Mechzva Moidya. Because the Malva thought that, and as if we're going to use the pshat that we used, in her own hometown, she's more likely to be embarrassed and not lie and admit that she owes the money. Amaluhu. So she said to the Bezdin, I'm willing to do this. However, kisfuli sachvasa, I'd like you to write for me a note, dimchi mishtaba, that when I do make the shvua, yadnali, the money will be given to me. Amalar Abibi Barabaya. So Bibi Barabaya said, Kisfulo. And the Farshim discuss who would hold on to this document until she made the Shvuah. Some Rishonim suggest that they would give it to a third party to hold on to. And some Rishonim say that we were dealing with an honest, somewhat honest Malvin Loiva. And all the Malva was requesting from the Loiva, from this woman who was the Loiva, was to swear. And he said that once you swear, I'll pay you. And therefore she was ready to let the Malva hold on to this document. Amr Rapapi, so Rapapi said, Mishum the Asim Maloi, because you come from people who live short lives, they're shortened. Amri Mila Melosa, you say incorrect things. Some say Maloi refers to people who came from people who were sick and did not have the merit of living long. Others say that they came from Bnei Eli, the people that lived in the town of Maloi were the people who came from the Mishpacha of Eli, who we know did not live long lives because of the curse that was given to them. Hachi, because he said, Ha'amar Rava, Hai Asher to the Daini. A certification that's being written by the Yonim, the Michtav Mekamed and the Chaver Sahadi Achsimus Yudayu, that they wrote out the document before the witnesses actually testify about the signatures, Psula is invalid. Alma, why? Because Mechsik Shikra, even though they didn't completely affect and sign yet the certification, but just writing the certification prior to its being effective, is Mechsika Shukra, looks like something false. Hachanami, writing this type of a document, Mechsika Shukra, and therefore should not be written. However, says the Gemara Valesa, Rapapi's argument is not correct. From something that we learned from Rav Nachman. Dom Rav Nachman, Oymahai Rameya, Rameya would say, Afila Matsu Ba'ashpa, Rameya is the man, the Omer, in Masech the Gittin, that holds that the main factor in a get is the signatures of the get. And therefore, if a get is found in a trash heap that has the same names of the husband and wife, the chosp of a nasan law, and then it's properly signed, kosher, the get is considered valid. Vafilu Rabbonon, even the Rabbonon, like Pliga Leid Rameya, only disagree with Rameya al Begitei Noshim by a get. Because they hold being Sivilishma, that not only is the signatures properly being signed according to them crucial, but also the entire writing, the entire body of the get according to them has to be written Lishma. Ab Shashtars, other stars, Maidalahu, they would agree with Rameya that if it was found in the trash heap, it's not considered Mechsi Kishikra. Domrav Asi Omrav Yochan. Shtar shalava ba paro, a shtar that was used to borrow and then was paid, ein achoyz v'loyva boy, should not be reused. Shekfar nimchal shibudai, as we've learned, a shtar puts a lien on all of the assets and all of the property of the loyva, and from the date of the shtar, and therefore once the shtar is paid, that lien dissipates. So the reason the shtar should not be used over is only tam the nimchel shibudai, because the lien has been released. Avla mechsik shikra. The problem that how am I using a shtar over? It was already used. That like a shinan, that is not a concern. So we see that there is no concern of mechsik shikra in halacha. Says the Gemara, Hahu gavra the ifkit shav maganisa the tsara besadina. There was a person who deposited 7 pearls wrapped in a kerchief by Ramasha Babarei Rav Yishu ben Levi, with Ramasha Rav Yishu, the grandson of Yishu ben Levi. And Shachar Ramasha, Ramasha died suddenly, Rashi teaches us, V'loi Pakid. And he did not have a time to give his family final instructions. And as the Mefarshim explained, as the Sofer explains, that every person has the obligation to tell his family and leave a will and settle his affairs. But this person died suddenly. He didn't expect to die. He wasn't ill. He died suddenly. Asla Kamed Rav Ami. So he came to Rav Ami. The person who deposited the pearls, claiming that these pearls belonged to him and not to Rav Asher nor to his Yorshim. Amluhu. So Rav Ami said to them, Chod Yadana Beber Rav Asher Babered Rav Yishum Alev Delamed. I know that he wasn't a wealthy person. And the first thing say, how do we know? How do we come to the word Rav Asher was? Amid means wealthy, because the Mefarshim explained the word Amid means to assess. Typically, people who are wealthy, everybody's counting their money. He wasn't a person that other people counted as money because he wasn't a wealthy person. This person is bringing a simon, seven pearls in a kerchief. I like the Rishonim explain, even though the Gemara Masechet of Matzia says that number of an item is not considered a simon, that's only if it's a number that's typically used. A dozen eggs. Eggs are usually sold in a dozen. But pearls weren't typically sold in a set of seven. That's why it's considered a simon. And as Tosfos explains to us, if Ramashi were alive and he said that it's mine, then he would be believed. However, it's only in this situation where Rav Asher was not alive, and this person is making this valid claim. And like Tosfos continues to say, there are two factors backing him up. Number one, that Rav Asher was not a wealthy person, so it's not likely that Rav Asher would have pearls. And furthermore, this person is bringing simonim. That's why we believe him. The Mishnayim also have a dispute. What would be the halacha if no one comes and makes a claim? May the Yarshim, but we know that it's unlikely that their father owned these pearls. May the Yarshim use the pearls or not? Some Mishnayim say since no one is making a claim, even though they don't know how and their father had these pearls, or if they were truly his, they may use it. Other Rishonim say that when there's a concern that these Yarshim never really owned the pearls, that the father never really owned the pearls, they would not be allowed to use it. However, this person is believed when he isn't a person that frequented Ramashia's home. If this person was a person who frequented Ramashia's home, we could say that perhaps another person deposited the pearls with Ramashia. He was the one that saw, and therefore he can't be trusted. The Gemara is going to bring two more similar incidents like this incident, and like the Mefarshim explained, the Rif says, the Gemara wants to prove and point out, emphasize, that this is the halacha, and that's why the Gemara brings a number of incidents that were identical. Hahu gavra, the afkit kasa, the kaspa bechasa. There was a person who left a silver goblet by the home of chasa. And shaf chasa, we know chasa died suddenly. The Gemara, at the end of Masechta Yevamos, discusses that chasa died by drowning. And the Farshim, in fact, point out that even though we learned the Gemara Masechta Yevamos teaches us that Chasa drowned, but we weren't sure that he drowned, we never saw his body, and therefore his wife was not allowed to get remarried, still his affairs, his financial affairs, we did settle as if he was dead. Vlepaket, and again, he died suddenly, so he never settled his affairs. Oslo Kamed Rav Nachman. Amalu, Yudanabe Bechasa Dloy Amid. We know Chassid wasn't a wealthy person, they should own such a silver cup. Void Kayov Simona, the person is bringing a debt, a simonim. Vilaya Morin, again, the Lairogal, the oil of enough glass, and the person who's making this claim is not a person that frequented Chassid's home. Avrogal, the oil of enough glass, if he was frequently there. Eime Enish Achra and Ifkid, we could be concerned that somebody else left the cup there, via Mechsachaz, and he saw it, and we can't trust him. Third similar story. Somebody left a silk garment by the home of Rav Dimi. Shachar Rav Dimi passed away without leaving any final instructions. So the person who made a claim that it was his came before Rav Abba, and Amalhu and Rav Abba said to them, I know Rav Dimi is not a wealthy person. Void ha'kayav simana. He's also giving a simon to prove that this garment is his. And again, we trust this person. Only if the person wasn't frequent in the home of Rav Dimi. If he's frequently in that home, we have to be concerned that another person left it there. Says the Gemara, who the amal nechs l'tavya? There was a shchimera, and as we've learned many times, divrei shchimera kiksuvim ukmesurim dami. The words that the shchimera says have validity in halacha, and the person the shchimera said nechsay l'tavya, that all of my properties should be left to tavya. And shachiv, and then he passed away. And also tavya, and a tavya comes along, and it says that I'm the tavya that he left the properties for. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Harei Ba Tovya. There's a Tovya here, and we trust him. And as the Rosh explains the Gemara, the situation here is that as soon as this person came, a Tovya came. So this is a proof that this is the person that the person that this is the Tovya that he meant, and therefore he could get the properties. And even if afterwards another person comes and makes a claim, another Tuvya comes and makes the claim that he's the Tuvya that this Shchimera meant, we will not give it to the second Tuvya. We won't consider his claim. The fact that the first Tuvya came, it's a proof that he knew that this was something that he and the Shchimera had agreed to, and he came to claim what he was owed. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that even if one Tuvya came, but then another Tuvya comes, who we have reason to believe might be the person that should be receiving these properties, we don't necessarily leave it with the first Tuvya. Om a Tuvya. If the Shchimera said, I'm leaving my Nechos of a Tuvya, Vasa Rav Tuvya, and someone whose name Rav Tuvya came, the Tuvya Omar, he meant it to give it to Tuvya. The Rav Tuvya Loy Omar, but he didn't mean it to give it to Rav Tuvya. So he's obviously not the person that the Shchimera meant. However, the Ianish the Gispay, but if the Shchimera was very familiar with this person, and even though the person was a Rav and was called Rav Tuvya, but since they were such close friends, have a Gispay, since he's so familiar with him, he called him Tuvya, even though it's Rav Tuvya. Also Shnei Tuvya. If two Tuvyas come, one is a Shachin, and one is a Talmud Chacham. One is a Shochin, a neighbor, and one is a Talmud Chacham. Who has first claims? Says the Gemara, Talmud Chacham Kaidim. Talmud Chacham comes first. Because the Rishonim explain that giving tzedakah to a Talmud Chacham is a big mitzvah. And we assume that this Shchimera wanted these properties to go to the Talmud Chacham, that he should have a schus prior to his death. As he enters the Olam Emes, he should have the schus. And therefore, Talmud Chacham Koidim. If we have a case of a Karva Talmud Chacham, similarly, if one Tuvya is a relative and the other one is a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham Koidim, the Talmud Chacham comes first. There is a Machloikis Rishonim. If, when we say that the Talmud Chacham comes before Karav, is it before every Karav? Or let's say it's a Karav that's a very close Karav, who is the proper Yairish. Does the Talmud Chacham even take precedence over him? Machlokes Rishonim. Ibailu, Shachan v'Karav Mai. One Tuvya was a neighbor, and another Tuvya was a relative. Who takes precedence? Toshma, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Toiv, Shachin Karav Miach Rochay. A close neighbor is better than a distant brother, and the Shachan takes precedence. And the Mefarshim explained, we shouldn't understand that Shachan here means a neighbor, because people don't necessarily have specifically close relationship with a neighbor. Shachin here means a person who was a good friend and he was close with. And sometimes close friends are closer than blood relatives. Ask the Gemara Shneim Kroivim. If both of them are relatives, Shneim Shchainim, or both of them are neighbors, or Shneim Chachamim, both of them Talmid Chachamim, what is the halacha then? Shuda the Daini. Machloikis Rashi and Toisus, how to understand Shuda the Daini. Rashi understands Shuda the Daini. We leave it up to the judgment of the Dayanim to decide who do they think this person would have left his properties for. Other Tosfos explained Shuda the Daini that under those circumstances Chazal gave the authority to the Dayanim to make the decision who should get the properties. I saw the Mefarshim explain that when Yaakov came to Yitzchak and was able to get Yitzchak to give him the brachas, the pasuk says v'yomer bo achicha b'mirma, and the Targum says b'mirma b'chokmas of the Torah. So what's pshat chokmas of the Torah? So the Mefarshim explained the Torah said ki b'yitzchak yikar lecha yizara ki b'yitzchak v'loika Yitzchak. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave the authority to give over the brachas to Yitzchak to whomever decided. So their halacha is that Yitzchak has the right to give it to whomever he wants. However, our Gemara says that if one of the possible recipients is a Talmud Chacham, he has precedence. Says the Pasuk, Bo Achicha B'mirma. The Levi Yischain says this Pshat. Bo Achicha B'mirma V'chachmas HaTorah. Yaakov is a Talmud Chacham. Our Gemara says that Talmud Chacham has precedence. And that's why Yitzchak said that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given me the choice who to give the bracha to, but our Gemara teaches us that the Talmud Chacham comes first.